Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
How you can plant yourself, but also not the benefits you can receive from the house, but what happens in the house when you plant yourself for other people. And how many of you know when you make it happen for someone else, God is, amen, going to make it happen for you. So that's kind of our January in a nutshell. 1 week from tonight, Catalyst Kids kicks back off. All the parents say amen. That means you don't have to have all the kids with you. You get a break to receive the word of God. And so Catalyst Kids, along with Pastor Manny and her team, will be next door, 7 p.m. each and every Wednesday night in 2023. And then January 2nd, our 21 days of prayer and fasting begins. And there are three different fasts you can choose from. You can do the total three-day fast with nothing but water, January 2nd through the 4th. January 2nd through 12th is a half Daniel fast, or the full 21-day Daniel fast from the 2nd to the 23rd, I believe. And we would love for you to take part in that. And there's a lot of questions we always have about fasting. Lots of new believers. Fasting is a New Testament principle. It is a weapon. It's in the Old and New Testament, but Jesus talked about it. Jesus said this: there's some things that don't happen unless you pray and fast. And so we believe in 21 days of prayer, focused prayer and fasting, that not only is God going to speak to you, but God is going to do something in your life that cannot be done outside of the realm of prayer and fasting. So be praying about which fast you're going to take part in. We encourage you. A lot of people ask us, can we fast social media? Can we fast this? Can we fast that? You can fast anything, but to do the biblical fast, it is a fasting of food. And some of us foodies, all we heard in that last sentence was fast food. No, fasting food. And so we would love for you to join with us in that. It's going to be a great, great time. And we want to encourage you to be a part of that, because I believe God's going to shape our year by our fasting and prayer this year. Amen? You ready to jump into the Word of God today? Oh, come on now. You ready to jump into the Word of God today? I don't know when Living Way Collective, that's the best I've ever heard them tonight. We could have stayed there all night, and I'm really disciplining myself by not coming up here and grabbing the microphone and singing with them and just laying hands on everybody in the building, and we can do that at the end of service. But I already told them I want us to have the altar call end where we left off in worship. So they're going to come back up, and they're going to kick off right where we left off in that bridge, I Want More. I don't know when they made their set list, but I do know that their set list and them singing that song last is no accident, because they didn't know what I was going to preach, and I didn't know what they were going to sing. But here we go, standing on your feet for the reading of the Word. I've got a message tonight, and all its title is More. And we sang I Want More, and we're going to talk about more, growing your expectation. This is a one-off. This is not a series, but I believe this is going to help us close 2022 out in the right way and help us get ready for 2023 in the right way. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we're going to read two different translations. We're going to read the translation that most of us are familiar with, the verbiage and the terminology. The King James Version says it like this: Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But let's read it in the NIV. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably, meaning you can't even measure. You cannot count. They say count your blessings. There's something God wants to do in your life that cannot be defined, that cannot be counted. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, not just one thing, everything combined, more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Somebody shout more. Somebody say, I want more. In 2023, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want everybody in the room today, if you are a journaler by hand, long hand, you actually write things out in a journal, I want you to get your journal ready. I want you to get a page in that journal that is fresh, because we're going to do something before we leave here tonight that I believe is going to shape your 2023. For those of you that have moved past a physical journal and you take notes in your phone, I need you to create a separate page for the notes, because God is going to give you three things that you need to write down or type out before you leave this building. And if he doesn't do it before you leave this building, he is going to before this year closes out. Last week, we stood here and talked about all the things that God was going to do. And a week ago Sunday, we talked about 13 days of an open heaven, not for God to pour out blessings, but for God to reveal things and give us a word, give us direction, give us a prophetic vision, something downloaded in our spirits that we had never received before, bringing clarity or bringing something in our future that he has yet to describe or give to us. And so I hope you've been praying with that in mind. But as we talk about I want more in 2023, I think that we need to make sure that that phrase or declaration is guarded. And I think that we need to make sure that before we say that, we really mean it. Because if you want more blessing, you understand that more blessing means more burden. That more blessing means more responsibility, that God trusts you and entrusts you with more. You realize that if you pray for more anointing, that there's going to be more attacks. Oh, I can't get anybody to amen that. I know we love to talk about more, 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 but realize when God puts something bigger in you, there is a devil that comes at you in a bigger way, because he does not want to see what God has promised come to fruition in your life. So before you say more, be careful and guard that declaration that when I say more, God, I'm expecting the devil to come at me with everything he's got, but I remember, God, that there's a spirit inside of me that is greater than the adversary, and the enemy that attacks you and the enemy that attacks me, he is an already defeated foe that is working with counterfeit, fake, and faux money, and what he wants to do cannot stand against what God has already done. When I say I want more, I'm saying, God, give me all that you have. But I'm also saying, devil, I'm ready for all that you have. And I will be victorious no matter what. This is Ephesians 3:20, church, one of the most quoted portions of Scripture in the New Testament. It is definitely one of the most quoted and least received Scriptures. Have you ever declared something that didn't come to pass? I'll raise my hand. I guess I'm the only one. Have you ever prayed a prayer that went unanswered? If you've ever prayed or made a declaration that did not come to pass, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It wasn't God's fault. Wasn't your in-law's fault. It wasn't. There's something beyond that we have to take ownership of. And we can declare something on a Wednesday night, but unless we are willing to obey and walk in full faith and trust, it doesn't matter what you declare in a church if you can't walk it out on the earth. One of the most quoted and least received portions of Scripture, Ephesians 3:20. One of the reasons that it is one of the most quoted is it is a very self-serving verse. Although we do acknowledge at the beginning of the verse that God is what makes it possible to receive far more than we can ask or think, the reason it is often quoted is our expectation for God to do more for us, to give more to us, to bless us more, or to favor us more. Having said that, I'm going to encourage you, church, keep quoting what God has told you. Keep declaring the word of God. Keep believing the word of God and keep standing on the word of God. Why? There's two reasons why you need to believe, quote, declare, and stand on the promise of God. Number one, because no one is going to believe for you like you will. No one will believe for your healing like you will believe for your healing. No one will believe for your prodigal sons and daughters to come home like you will believe. And number two, no one is going to pray for you like you. Because no one knows you like you. We only pray about what we know, what we see, what you have asked us or sent in a prayer request to pray for, but in the dark recesses of our minds, in the dark recesses and corners of our life, there's some things that nobody knows about. And I'm here to tell you, take those petitions to God. Stand on the word of God and say, God, in 2023, I'm expecting you to do this in my life. I'm expecting more. If I can ask it, if I can think it, you said you would do more than all of that. So I'm standing on that today. And what you don't know, that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because the things that I don't know that I'm struggling with, the attacks that I don't know that are coming in January of 2023, when I start praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me for the things that I don't know about. That's why I pray in English till I run out of things to pray about, and then I let my heavenly language take over. Why? Because nobody's going to pray for me like I'll pray for me. One of bishops and my friends, a pastor that will go unnamed, was standing in the altar after a service on Sunday, and someone came up to him that goes to his church, and this is what the man said. He said to the pastor, I don't know if I would have made it this week if it hadn't been for your prayers. To which the pastor replied, pray for you. I haven't thought about you since the last time I saw you. I've been out making a living, fighting devils, and getting through life by myself. Now, I'm not here to tell you that pastor was right or wrong, but there's a little truth in that. Oh, I'm going to pray for you this week, but nobody's going to get more prayers for me than me. Nobody's going to pray for me like me. Nobody's going to pray over my children like me. Nobody's going to pray over my marriage like me. Oh, I pray for other churches. Nobody's praying for Living Way like me. Oh, I pray for other countries. Nobody's praying for the U.S. like me. Why? Because I'm the one who's involved in it. And then I was reminded that there are some people who really mean when they say, I pray for you, because after I wrote all of these notes down, after I prayed about it, after I read them right before I came out here, one of the first people I saw in the lobby is a woman of God who's been coming to church here for close to 30 years. And she said, I never get to hug your neck. But let me tell you something, Pastor. I pray for you every day by name. And I said, I thank you for doing that. Keep doing that this year. I need your prayers. And as much as I love her, as much as she's a blessing to me, nobody's going to pray for Brandon like Brandon prays for Brandon. She prays for me every day, but I'm praying for me every hour. Sometimes it's God, fix me, I'm broken. Sometimes it's God, I'm feeling this kind of way, and I need my faith to be infused and fortified in this moment. Sometimes when you don't know what I'm going through, and I've got this thing going on physically, I say, God, I need you to heal me, and I can't wait till Sunday for the elders and the deacons and the men and women of God to lay their hands on me. And I'm not going to put it out on Facebook, but right here, right now, God, I'm praying for me. No one believes for you like you believe for you. No one prays for you like you pray for you. However, before we can shout about Ephesians 3:20, church, before we can talk and declare that God is going to do in 2023 more than we ask or think, before we can shout about what God is going to do for us, let us look at the context in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, at what God is not going to do for us, but what God wants to do in us. The prayer of our life should be greater for what God is going to do in us than what God will do for us. Ephesians 3:20 is not just a letter that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through the conclusion in verse 21 is actually a prayer that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus and for the believers in that church. Ephesians 3:20 was not just a declaration of encouragement to them. This is what Paul said. He said, I know what you're going through, and this is my prayer for you. He was not praying that prayer over himself in this moment. He was praying that the God that would do exceedingly abundantly above all and immeasurably add unto them and bless them, he was praying that prayer for someone else. Not for himself. Oh, church, can we get to praying like we pray for us, for other people? Can we start talking to God, not about our finances, but our neighbors? Not about our healing only, but to the person across the hospital hallway that you don't know. Can I encourage you? It blesses me when I see the Mendoza family who God has healed their son, Brian, of cancer, who's sitting here today. It blesses me when I hear them say, hey, we need to pray for Bobby because Bobby needs healing from cancer too. Hey, this is going on and I see their post. Hey, this child suffering from cancer and we need to pray for them like we prayed for Brian. And oh, it does something to you when you start praying for somebody else, for somebody else's breakthrough, for someone else's salvation, where when you come to God, it's not always about us, but it's about someone else. Paul is writing much of his letters from a prison cell, and most of his letters are not about him receiving something. It's about somebody else receiving something. So he prays this prayer in verse 20 over the people of Ephesus. When was the last time we made that declaration and prayed Ephesians 3:20 over someone else? Most critics like to take believers like us to task and criticize us for declaring scriptures like Ephesians 3:20 and Jeremiah 29:11. They're quick to say Jeremiah 29:11 was not written to you. Ephesians 3:20 is not written to you. First of all, I would definitely argue that the word of God is written to us. It is written to us because Romans 11 verse 17 says this: but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off, and you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in, praise God. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children. You get to share in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off, for you are just a branch, not the root. Can I help somebody's ego today? You're just a branch, not the root. I'm just a branch, not the root. The most famous pastor in the world is just a branch, not the root. You realize you could prune a tree down to the ground level and cut off every branch the tree has. And next spring, you will see a little sapling coming back. Why? Because you cannot affect the root. I am here to tell you, I'm grateful that I have been grafted in. That means when God wrote Jeremiah 29:11 and promised and expected in one of peace and not of evil, I know he wasn't writing directly to me because I wasn't in that captivity, but he was writing it to me because I was in a captivity. And I am here to tell somebody today that if you want more from God, you are going to have to remember what he did to graft you in, and remember that you are just a branch, but the root is wanting to do something in your life. That's why we cannot take lightly switching jobs. That's why you cannot take lightly switching marriages. That's why you cannot take lightly switching churches. Why? Because you've spent all this time putting down a root and getting planted in the house of God and the kingdom of God. And when you uproot yourself, you are going to have a lack of fruit at least for one season, if not many seasons. And so when they say that things like Ephesians 3:20 are not written to us, oh, it was written to me because when God looks at me, he does not see a Gentile that is now a Jew or a Jew that used to be a Gentile. When he looks at you and me, he sees the children of God. He doesn't see white, black, red, or brown. He does not see male or female. He looks at faith. He looks at the heart. He looks at the spirit of man. And if you want more, you've got to remember where you came from. Say, where is that, Pastor? From a long way off. So I remind the naysayers, oh, he wrote it to us. However, I'm quick to remind them as well that the word of God was written for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Oh, we love the teaching, but the rebuking and the correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, that's you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want God to do something good for you, you have to do something good for Him. And the only way you can do something good for Him is to be equipped by His Word. And so we can't stand on nothing and declare, God, 2023 is going to be my best year ever. And God, you're going to do this. And God, I declare you're going to do this. And then on January 1st, just walk into a new year expecting no attack, expecting no anointing, expecting no responsibility. If I want God to do something for me, I've got to stand up and say, God, while you do the impossible, I'm going to be at Living Way doing the possible. While you do the impossible on Thursday, I'm going to be doing the possible on Monday. God, I am all in, not just with declaration, but I'm putting some feet to my faith. Somebody say more. Give me five more minutes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. This is the verses preceding verse 20. Paul says, I pray. Here the prayer is, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul's first prayer and declaration for the church at Ephesus and for the believers is, he said, I want you to have God's strength, his power, and his Spirit. If you are going to have more in 2023, you are going to need more of God's strength, his power, and his Spirit than you have ever before. Why? Because I plan on taking the biggest mountains I've ever taken. But I also know that between me and the biggest mountains are going to be the biggest Goliaths that I have ever faced. You are going to see the biggest miracles and breakthroughs that you have ever seen in your life. But between here and breakthrough, there are some Goliaths. There are some demons. There is an all-out war to keep you here or to drag you backwards. But my prayer is the same prayer that Paul had, that you would have God's strength and not your strength, God's power and not your power, God's Spirit and not your spirit. Not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul's second prayer and declaration for believers in Ephesus was, I pray that God's presence through our faith. Your faith saved you. Your faith keeps you. Your faith heals you. Your faith delivers you and keeps you delivered. Your faith keeps your mouth shut sometimes. Your faith opens your mouth sometimes. Your faith stops you when all you want to do is go. And sometimes it makes you go when all you want to do is stay. And it's that faith that produces God's presence. While we were worshiping, I could feel Shekinah glory in this house. I could feel the presence of Almighty God settled in this place. For those of us that are mature enough in the things of God, it's not because of certain songs. It's because of a certain attitude and posture of our heart. And I felt God's presence. But can I just encourage you, church? Can I beg you, actually, don't leave his presence in this room. Take his presence to Pop Fireworks in a couple days. Take his presence to HEB. Take his presence. Listen, let's take his presence to the places we never talk about. We always talk about the hospital. We always talk about the courtroom. Can we just take his presence to the park? Can we take his presence to the break room? Can we take his presence to the backyard? Can we just live in the presence of God? Paul said this, if you want more, you have to have more of him. I would say it like this on a Saturday night. I know we're all mature adults in here. I would say it like this on a Saturday night. God is not no punk. Meaning this, you can't fake God out. You can't fake him into blessing you on a Wednesday night and then live like hell for the rest of the week. God is not going to be manipulated. You can't manipulate him like you do your spouse. God cannot be manipulated. So when I say, God, I want more, instead of saying more, we should finish that sentence or phrase with, God, I want more of you. When we say, God, I want more of you, now it is not a selfish prayer of something we want God to do. Now it is a relational prayer of worship that, God, I don't want something, I want someone, and that only someone will do is you, Jesus. He said, I pray that his presence is there through faith. I've got 1 minute left. The second part of verse 17, he says, I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Somebody say rooted. Somebody say, I'm not going anywhere. Number three, his prayer that we may become unmovable and rooted in the love of God. This is why you have to be rooted in the love of God. If you're rooted in the love for anything else or anybody else, eventually that person is going to cross you. That person is going to leave you. That person is going to let you down, and you will be uprooted. But if you are rooted in a God that is love, that never changes, there is no variableness in him, no shadow of turning, meaning he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the only thing that I can root myself in. I say it like this. I love Living Way so much, there is nothing you could say or do that would cause me to leave Living Way. You say, yeah, but that's the church of your family. Well, let me say it like this. I love Mandy. There's nothing you could say about her that would make me leave her. Why? Because I love her too much, but I made a promise to God before I made a promise to her that, God, I will love her, honor her, respect her, treat her right, and God, till death do us part. I love you with a love that is rooted in God, so there's nothing that you can do that would rob me from the more that God said I could have. Verse 18 said, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. His fourth prayer and declaration for believers, he said, I'm praying that you have the power of unity. Sunday mornings is the most segregated hour in our nation still. We live in a city that has over 2 million people in it. You go to HEB, you're going to see black people, brown people, white people, red people, yellow people, and every shade in between. You go to schools, you're going to see all of those colors. You watch football games. You got grown men of different colors hugging each other with no shirts on. But Sunday, 10 a.m., San Antonio's got black church, white church, brown church. And we expect that we're going to reach a world when we all look the same, believe the same, vote the same. But when you come to Living Way, it looks like HEB. I was going to say it looks like the football game, but nope, everybody's got their shirts on. But you will say you will see two guys hug each other. Why is that? Because this is the one place that when you come in here, we don't ask how you vote because we don't care how you vote. We don't ask who you are, how much money you have, because we don't care how much money you have. When you come into this place, what is the power of the unity that we all share? I love Jesus. If I love Jesus, I can't hate you. If you love Jesus, you can't hate me. Oh, you might not like me from time to time, but I love you. Why? Because my love for God is bigger than any discrepancy or disagreement or division that the enemy would like to have. We're going to have to reach a world that looks crazy, every color, every age, every gender, and every gender in between. Now, how are we going to reach that world? By the unity and the power that is in that unity. We need the church now more than ever. We need more of God now more than ever. The power of unity through God's love. Verse 19, the final thing that he prays for. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure. Remember that word, measure. It says that you may be filled to measure of all of the fullness of God. Number five, his prayer for more. He said, I want you to be filled with the fullness of God. Not being filled with God, filled with the fullness of God. Which leads us back to Ephesians 3:20, church. In the proper context, we now know that before God can do what we want him to do for us, we must allow God to do what he wants to do in us. 2023, people making vision boards, people writing the vision and making it plain, and I am all for that. I am all for starting your morning with prayer and declaration, but can I encourage you, it starts with what God wants to do in you than more than what you want God to do for you. I told you to keep that word measure in your mind from verse 19. Because he says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Wait a minute, you said the measure of God can lead to an immeasurable move. Yes, because measure means to completion. You can't be complete unless you are full of the fullness of God. You can't have more than you can ask or think. You can't have an immeasurable move until you've been completed by God and have him do what he wants to do on the inside. If you're taking notes, take a picture of the wall or write it down. An immeasurable move of God begins when we are filled to completion with the full presence of God. If we want God to do more for us in 2023, we must allow him to do more in us in 2023. Our prayer, church, must change from, God, I want you to do something great for me. And it must change to, God, I want you to do something great in me so that you can do something great through me. There's three prayers you could pray, church. A good prayer is, God, do something great for me. A great prayer is, God, do something great in me. But the greatest prayer we can pray is, God, do something great through me. At the beginning of this message and in closing, I asked you to get a fresh piece of paper to write on. I asked you to get a fresh note section on your smartphone or tablet. Because those are the three things that you're going to write down tonight. Those are the three things that if you can't do it tonight in the next few moments, and I believe some of you have been praying the last few weeks, few days, and God has opened up communication like never before. But there's three things that all of us, I want every leader, I want every newcomer, every visitor, everybody that's watching online, I want our leadership, if you have children, young children, walk them through these steps. I want everybody to write these down, and then I need you to pray over them, but post them so you see them every day. Put them on your mirror where when you're brushing your teeth, you see these three things. Put them on your lock screen on your phone. Put them on your vision board. Say, what are the three things we're going to write? These are the three things we're going to write for 2023. We're going to write what we want God to do for us. The number one thing. God, this is the number one thing I want you to do for me in 2023. Second thing you're going to write is, God, this is what I want you to do in me in 2023. And finally, the third thing you're going to write is, God, this is what I want you to do through me in 2023. Started off a little out of order because we end with the greatest. But here's the revelation. You can stand on your feet. If God does something great through me, he must do something great in me.